Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's episode, I want to talk to you about natural gas.
Last summer, we were asking if Europe would get through the winter without freezing after Russia's willingness to weaponize its pipeline imports against the West pushed wholesale gas prices at one point higher than 300 euros a megawatt hour. In Germany, energy-intensive companies moved to shut down production amid blackout warnings, and in Britain, energy bills more than doubled. European countries scrambled to secure new supplies of gas and cut consumption. And with the help of a mild winter, they do seem to have succeeded. Germany's gas tanks are now 64% full, much higher than a year ago. But the IEA has warned Europe has not yet won its energy war with Russia. Next winter will be Europe's first without any Russian pipeline gas at all. And the IEA warned fears of a shortage will be back if the weather is cold.
The replacement of natural gas supplies from Russia has been one of the biggest challenges facing Europe since Russia's invasion of Ukraine started in February 2022. Over the past 20 years or so, Europe has benefited from receiving gas supplies directly via pipelines from the Russian fields. And because that gas was being conveniently supplied at a very low cost, a lot of European countries built their infrastructure around it. And a lot of power stations in European countries are now dependent on natural gas to produce electricity. Now, through the course of 2022, we saw a lot of European countries moving away from buying Russian gas. And the main two alternatives available are Norwegian gas or liquefied natural gas. But the problem with liquefied natural gas is that you have to have regasification facilities. When that gas arrives in a liquefied form on a ship, you then have to convert it back into gas before you can feed it into your pipeline and use it either in your power stations or in people's homes or for industry. And that's been a major challenge for Europe over the course of the last 12 months, because setting up liquefied natural gas facilities is expensive and time-consuming. As soon as Russia's invasion of Ukraine started, there were concerns that lots of countries in Europe wouldn't have enough gas to be able to see them through the winter of 2022. However, most countries managed to fill their storage facilities using Russian gas. And the fact that the winter of 2022 has been very mild has meant that Europe has got through this very difficult period. However, that doesn't mean that Europe is out of the woods, because in 2023, Europe won't have the benefit of being able to use Russian gas to fill its facilities. And so there is a real risk that if we have a very cold winter in 2023, that Europe could be facing exactly the same problems and potentially not have enough gas to produce electricity or to supply homes and industry. So in today's video, we'll have a look at the breakdown of how Europe uses gas. We'll have a look at the current storage facilities and what percentage those storage facilities equate to in terms of total usage. We'll have a look at where Europe is now sourcing its gas supplies. We'll talk about LNG, and then we'll go on to talk about the situation from Russia's perspective, because the flip side of Europe not buying all of the Russian gas is that Russia has lost a huge amount of revenue. And the problem that Russia is facing is that it's difficult to be able to find alternative markets because it was supplying all of this gas via pipelines in its natural form. And the only way that it can supply other markets is either to construct new pipelines or to convert that gas into LNG. And that has its own problems. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 12 months, what the risks are for Europe, and also what impact the loss of these gas revenues will have on the Russian economy. Now, before we go on any further today, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Atlas VPN, and to let you know about their amazing 3-year deal whereby you can get full coverage for only $1.83 per month, including an additional 3 months extra and a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee. If you use the internet without any form of protection, you leave yourself exposed to tracking, hacking, and advertising. Using Atlas VPN protects you from all of these. Atlas VPN provides you with comprehensive security and is used by more than 6 million people worldwide. So it's fantastic news that it will protect you from hacking and tracking and data breaches. But what's also great news is that it can save you money and open up a whole new world of entertainment, because it allows you to change your location, which gives you the opportunity to get better deals and to access content that may not be available in your region. Atlas VPN is available to use on unlimited devices for one subscription, and Atlas VPN is currently currently offering an amazing 3-year deal whereby you can get full coverage for only $1.83 per month, including an additional 3 months extra and a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee. So to purchase this exclusive Joe Bloggs offer, please click in the description below. This chart shows the breakdown of the consumption of natural gas in the European Union. And the European Union consists of 27 countries that consume over 400 billion cubic meters of gas each year. So as you can see, the biggest single usage, representing around a third of all of the gas used, is for power and heating generation. And this is predominantly used in natural gas-fired power stations to produce electricity. Industry and services also account for around one-third of gas usage, and household use equates to just under 25%, with a lot of countries supplying natural gas directly to households that's used in boilers for heating water and to heat the radiators, and also in hobs and ovens for cooking purposes. So as you can see from this chart, natural gas has become an essential infrastructure item for a lot of countries because it's needed for electricity, it's needed for industry and services, and it's needed to keep households warm and fed. So as a result of that, it's very difficult to be able to switch to alternative energy supplies, and the only alternative for most countries to natural gas is liquefied natural gas. This chart shows the level of natural gas imports for some of the major countries in Europe. And you can see that the biggest single importer is Germany, who are importing over 100 billion cubic meters per year. The second largest is Italy, which is importing more than 50 billion cubic meters. The Netherlands is actually the third largest, because what we're looking at on this graph is the blue section that relates to natural gas imports. The black section refers to liquefied natural gas imports, and we'll come onto that later in the video. And the Netherlands is importing more than 38 billion cubic meters. Turkey comes in at number 4 with almost 32 billion cubic meters. The United Kingdom's in at number 5 with almost 30 billion. France is number 6 at 25 billion. And then we have Belgium and Spain. Now, as I mentioned, the black section on this chart shows the level of liquefied natural gas imports. And you can see that prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine starting, Germany and the Netherlands were entirely reliant on pipeline gas. They weren't importing any LNG. The other countries on this list were importing some LNG, but for every country apart from Spain, the majority of the gas that they were importing was coming in a natural form in pipelines. Now, one of the reasons that the European Union has been able to get through the winter of 2022 is because it's been able to store gas, and through the summer of 2022, all of the storage facilities were filled up to give everybody headroom in the event that we had a very cold winter. And this graphic shows the current storage levels for a variety of different European countries. And the size of the circles on this graph are directly proportionate to the size of the storage capacity. So you can see that Germany has total storage capacity of almost 250 terawatt hours of gas. And currently Germany has around 160 terawatt hours of gas in storage, which means that the storage facilities are currently 64% full. So what does that mean in terms of the amount of gas that Germany is actually using? Well, this graphic, in addition to showing the percentage of the capacity that's filled, also shows us what that gas equates to in terms of the annual consumption from Germany. And as you can see, 64% of the storage capacity equates to around 18% of the total consumption. So what that tells us is that the total storage capacity in Germany, if it was completely full, would only equate to around 27 or 28% of the total annual usage. So therefore, Germany needs to make sure that it's got ongoing regular supplies, because the storage isn't anywhere near enough to be able to see Germany through the whole of the year. The second largest importer of natural gas, and also the country that has the second largest storage capacity, is Italy, with capacity of around 193 terawatt hours. And currently Italy has around 110 terawatt hours of gas in storage, which equates to around 57%. And in terms of what percentage that equates to for the annual consumption, it's only 15%. So Italy is in exactly the same situation as Germany. Its storage capacity only equates to around 26% of its total annual usage. So therefore, Italy needs to make sure that it's got constant regular supplies coming into the country to see it through the winter of 2023. The third largest importer of natural gas in Europe is the Netherlands, which has storage capacity of around 139 terawatt hours. And currently the Netherlands has around 82 terawatt hours of gas in storage, which equates to around 59% of its capacity. And in terms of its annual consumption, that equates to around 23%. So that means that the Netherlands' storage capacity equates to around 38% of its total annual usage, which is obviously much higher than Germany and Italy, but still means that the Netherlands needs to make sure that it's got ongoing gas supplies to see it through the winter of 2023. And we'll just finish off by having a look at two of the other biggest countries in Europe, France and Spain. France have total storage capacity of around 134 terawatt hours and currently is holding around 39 terawatt hours of gas in storage, which equates to around 29%. The capacity in Spain is much lower at 35 terawatt hours, and currently Spain is holding around 28 terawatt hours of gas, which equates to around 78%. And if we look at what the current gas storage levels equate to in terms of the annual consumption, you can see that it's only around 9% of total annual consumption in France and 8% in Spain. So once again, both countries need to make sure that they've got regular access to gas supplies to see them through the winter of 2023. This chart shows which countries were historically supplying the EU with natural gas dating back to 2018. The blue section at the bottom represents the Russian supplies, the red section Norway, the purple section Algeria, the yellow section Libya, the green section liquefied natural gas, the orange section the UK, and the light blue section the Trans-Adriatic pipeline from Azerbaijan. And what this shows is that back in 2018, Russia was supplying around 50% of all of the natural gas that was being used by the EU. However, since 2019, that percentage has fallen to around about 30% as a result of increases in supply from Norway, Algeria, and in liquefied natural gas. And this chart shows the sources of gas imports to the EU between January and November 2022. And what that shows is that during this 11-month period, the largest single source of gas for the European Union came from liquefied natural gas, which equated to around 26%. And the majority of that came from the USA, Qatar, and Nigeria. The second largest supply was Norway, coming in at 25%. Russia represented the third largest supply at 24%. Algeria provided around 12% of all of the gas, and other countries made up a combined total of around 13%. So what this analysis shows is that Europe's dependence on Russian gas has reduced significantly over the last few years. Back in 2018, it was more than 50%. During the course of 2022, Russia dropped down to being the third largest supplier, and going forward, the importance of Russian gas will diminish even further. This chart shows the historic revenues for natural gas sales for Gazprom, which is the Russian enterprise in charge of selling all gas products, dating back to 2016. And what you can see from this graphic is that in 2021, the year prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there was a significant uplift in the revenues earned by Gazprom, and they came in at around $75 billion in that year. And one of the reasons for this was the success of the Nord Stream pipeline. This graphic shows the major pipelines that Russia had constructed to supply gas directly into Europe. And as you can see, the main ones are the Nord Stream pipeline, which went under the Baltic Sea and supplied around 60 billion cubic meters of gas directly into Germany. The Yamal pipeline, which travels through Belarus, Poland, and also terminates in Germany. The Brotherhood pipeline, which travels through Ukraine into Central Europe. The Soyuz pipeline, which also goes through Ukraine, and the Blue Stream and the Turk Stream pipelines, which deliver gas to Turkey. Now, since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, gas supplies through the Yamal and Brotherhood and Soyuz pipelines have reduced significantly, and all gas has ceased flowing through the Nord Stream pipeline following the underwater explosions that took place towards the end of 2022. And one of the major challenges that Russia is now facing is trying to replace the $75 billion worth of revenue that it was receiving from those gas sales with other sales, because the only way that Russia can sell this gas to other countries is either by constructing new pipelines, which is very expensive and takes a long period of time to put into place, or to liquefy that gas and then transport it over the ocean. And that, unfortunately, from Russia's point of view, also takes a long period of time because you have to construct really large facilities to be able to liquefy that gas. So Russia today is sitting on huge amounts of natural gas, which historically were generating large amounts of revenue for it. And they're finding that it's impossible to be able to monetize that gas because they can't actually get it to the markets that want to buy it. Now, Russia does actually have a pipeline that supplies gas directly to China. It's called the Power of Siberia. And you can see from this map the scale of that project. This pipeline runs for around 3,000 kilometres or 1,900 miles. To be able to deliver gas to the Chinese border, this pipeline became operational in 2019 and in 2022 supplied around 16 billion cubic metres of gas to China, which equated to around 10% of China's gas import needs. Now, just to put that into perspective, the Nord Stream pipeline was supplying around 60 billion cubic metres per year. So this Chinese pipeline equates to around 25% of the capacity of Nord Stream. So that really shows you how much revenue Russia is losing. Now, Russia and China are reported to be in negotiations to build a second pipeline called the Power of Siberia 2. However, that deal has not been signed. And even if it's signed at some point in the near future, the talk is that the pipeline will be operational in 2030. So it will take another 7 years to actually construct because it's so long. And if you look at this graphic, you can see that the dotted line shows the Power of Siberia 2 pipeline. And it is absolutely enormous because it's not coming from the same gas fields that the Power of Siberia is supplying. It's actually coming from the Yamal fields, which historically were supplying Europe because it's closer to Europe. And you can see that from an infrastructure point of view and an engineering point of view, it's going to be a major challenge. And also that pipeline will have to pass through another country, Mongolia, before it actually gets to China. So some major challenges facing Russia, and it's likely that they won't be able to monetize any of the gas sales that they've lost to Europe at any point in the next 5 to 7 years. So the alternative that Russia has is to build more liquefied natural gas facilities to be able to convert this gas into LNG and then sell it to India and other countries in Asia. But the problem that Russia is facing is twofold. Firstly, it's very expensive to be able to build those facilities, and Russia is not awash with cash at the moment. It's facing major sanctions, it's losing revenue, it reported a huge loss in the first 2 months of this year, a massive deficit, and that's on top of the huge deficit it incurred for 2022. So it doesn't have the cash available to be able to invest into those facilities. But in addition to that, it also doesn't have the expertise that it used to have. Historically, when Russia wanted to build any infrastructure, it leaned upon lots of majors from around the world. So companies like BP, Shell, ExxonMobil would come in and they would help design and build these facilities and also pay for them as well. However, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, all of those companies decided that they no longer wanted to have any relationship with any Russian companies. They have now left the country, so Russia can't rely upon them to be able to help them build these facilities and also to pay for them. So Russia's really between a rock and a hard place right now. It needs to generate more money from its gas deposits, but it simply doesn't have the infrastructure in place to be able to do it. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to give you an update as to what's happening with natural gas, because we talked about it a lot following Russia's initial invasion of Ukraine. It was one of the biggest topics. How was Europe going to cope? What was going to happen in the winter of 2022? Was everybody going to be left freezing and unable to cook any food and without any electricity if we didn't see any gas supplies? Well, none of that happened for two reasons. Firstly, the European countries were able to fill up all of their storage facilities using Russian gas, because Russia was still selling gas to all of those countries at that time, and the EU didn't prohibit any country from buying the gas. So that really helped get everybody ready for the winter period. And then fortuitously, the winter period in Europe was very mild in 2022. So that meant that there was less direct demand for heating and cooking from households, and also less demand in terms of converting that gas into electricity, because the weather was warmer and also consumers made a conscious effort to reduce the amount of energy that they were using because of the war. But as we discussed at the start of this video, one of the problems that Europe is now facing is what's going to happen in the winter of 2023. Because over the course of the next 6 months, it's going to be more difficult to fill the storage capacity because most countries are no longer buying any gas directly from Russia. Now, countries such as Norway and Algeria are actually providing gas via pipelines, so that's helping with the supplies. But for a lot of countries, they're now having to rely on liquefied natural gas. So that's meant, firstly, that they've had to invest heavily into the infrastructure. And secondly, they're now having to buy LNG, which is more expensive than natural gas that comes through a pipeline. So this has really increased the costs. So there's going to be an economic challenge for a lot of countries in Europe, because to fill their storage capacity will cost them a lot more in 2023 than it did in 2022. But in addition to that cost element, there's also the capacity issue. Will they be able to have enough excess LNG to put it into storage rather than using it on an ongoing basis. So we'll have to wait and see what happens over the course of the next 6 months. But the key question really is what's going to happen with the weather. If we have a very cold winter in Europe in 2023, that will have serious consequences for a lot of countries. Because as we saw earlier in this graphic, the storage capacity that most countries have represents a small percentage of their total usage. So therefore, they need to have regular supplies coming in. They can't rely on what's under the ground because it's simply not enough. So if we do get a very cold snap, that will put a... So if we do have a very cold winter period, that will put a lot of pressure on those supplies, and we could have major problems with regards to shortages of natural gas and potentially blackouts. So that's obviously potentially bad news for Europe, but what's the situation with regards to Russia? Well, as we saw in this video, Russia was earning a large amount of revenue from the sale of its natural gas to Europe. In 2021, it earned more than $75 billion. And all of the infrastructure had been built and was in place, and Russia just needed to sit back and watch that cash rolling in. But unfortunately, because of their decision to invade Ukraine, all of their buyers decided that they no longer wanted to be customers anymore, and so Russia has lost all of that valuable income. And as we've been through in this video, it's very difficult for Russia to be able to replace it, because you can't just build pipelines overnight, and you can't liquefy that gas if you don't have liquefied natural gas conversion facilities. So Russia has really shot itself in the foot in terms of being able to monetize all of its natural gas resources. It's got one of the biggest reserves in the world, but unfortunately, it's struggling to be able to find any buyers, and nobody wants to help them out. So Russia's economy will suffer during 2023 and beyond, because they will be losing tens of billions of dollars worth of revenue that it's simply impossible to replace. Now, over the course of the next 10 years or so, they may be able to build some infrastructure to be able to sort that situation out. However, as you'll be aware, most countries around the world are trying to increase their percentage of renewable energy to get away from being fully dependent on fossil fuels and to be able to generate a large portion of their electricity needs from things like solar, hydro, and wind. So by the time Russia gets to the point where it can actually start sending some of this gas to other countries, they may well find that those countries don't want it and there's just no demand. So Russia could really be looking at a situation where it loses the ability to monetize this valuable natural resource simply because of the invasion of Ukraine. So hopefully you found today's episode useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. Thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end, and here's something to put a smile on your face.